You're listening to Potential Cast, season 6, episode 17. Calling in a demon that Jonathan, Andrew, and Warren unleashed on Buffy causes her to drift between her friends in the real world and an alternate reality where her mother is still alive.
What?
Are we sure that's the alternate reality?
My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I am Illyrio.
And I'm Moira.
Moira Brown. Canada. Canada. Canada.
It's 3-2.
That's right. We are 3-2. We are from the Quebec Windsor Corridor right here. So anyone east or west of that can go fuck yourself. This is the only Canada that matters. Sorry, Rachel McLaughlin Horn, but Edmonton, Schmedmonton, you had a snowstorm last week. It's time for some good old St. Lawrence Seaway love. All right. Hey, how's everybody been?
Good.
All right. So.
Okay.
Amazing.
I've been better, but all right.
It's been forever.
It has been forever. It's been forever since I've
been hanging
out with
my daughter. That's fun.
Say that again.
Yeah. I said I've been hanging out with rock stars. It's been a good week.
Whoa, you fancy.
Do you want to tell us who?
Yeah.
Who? Geddy Lee?
No, Canadian band. Think about
he is Canadian.
No, I'm going to say, Rush is Canadian.
Not Rush. Not
Rush. Ryan Adams?
Tragically Hip People.
Oh, I don't know any of those. People.
Was it Gord?
I do.
Anyway, moving on.
Was it Gord?
Rob.
Rob, okay.
Those are such
Canadian names, by the way. Gord, Rob, and of
course, they are so Canadian.
And of course, Dave. The most Canadian name of all is Dave.
Yes, these are the Daves I know.
There are no Davids. There are no Davids in Canada. They're just Daves.
They're all Daves.
That's right.
Have you been?
Well, I must say that these basement renovations are taking forever. But I hung up a sheet of drywall today, so there's progress.
Of how many that need to be hung?
All of them.
So one out of all?
Yeah. But as they say, the journey of 1,000 miles. What am I saying? It's 3-2. The journey of 1,600 kilometers begins with a single sheet of drywall.
Drywall is heavy stuff, baby. You ever tried to lift that? It's heavy.
Yeah, I'm doing it very carefully. Don't worry. It's all controlled.
Thank you. Good. I don't want to have to make a house call 2.5 hours down the road.
I had my
Your son was spotting you.
I was going to say sonogram. I had my ultrasound the other day for my medical condition. So hopefully we'll get some results soon.
Yes, see okay.
When I'm going to get my surgery scheduled. So we'll see. But I'm okay. I'm being very careful.
No, I don't want people
about that.
Spotting you. I think that...
No, but... yeah, but my daughter started her second year of hockey. My son has started archery.
Yes.
So,
really awesome.
Yeah, archery had his first class. He had an initiation to water polo yesterday, but he's not really that interested. So, I think he shies away from team sports.
Oh.
Yeah, I think he shies away
so
from
Larry,
team
I'm
sports.
Just contrasting, comparing and contrasting. So your daughter started her second year of hockey.
Yeah.
My son started his second year of university.
Nice.
Oh, God.
Man.
You just wait.
Your kids are old.
They are. It must mean I'm old, Larry.
Not at all.
Whoa.
Not at all.
Whoa.
Awesome. No, but it's great anyway. For us to get together and hang out and talk about whatever. Hey, do you guys watch anything cool?
You like Buffy?
I saw a pretty awesome episode of Buffy that finally makes me stop hating the show again.
Yay! All right.
Really hope this isn't like a one-off episode because I'd be pissed.
Yeah. Quick
if
survey.
They just sort of like, okay.
The quick survey is, how many of you believe that it was in her head? All right.
Believe what? You mean that?
I'm literally 50-50. It could go either way. I would like it if I would enjoy it if it went either way. That is how much I enjoyed this episode. When it was introduced, I'm like, holy shit, this is so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't, I'd be like, meh, it's a TV show. You know what I mean?
I must say that my favorite part was when the doctor was detailing all of the insanity, especially the sister she created.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
To create a familial unit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Well, love it. Love it.
Even in the Buffy world, in the world that we've known so far, like even Xander says it when they're sitting on the couch, he's like, he lists off all those crazy things. He's like, oh yeah. You know, like he's like, you might be right. It's like, I was like, oh shit. I thought it was fantastic.
I want her to be crazy and have imagined everything so fucking mad. Oh my God. That's genius.
It would have been awesome.
But you know what? I don't believe for a minute that that's how it's going to go. I think this is a one-off.
Oh, no. No, she is. I think the quality is not a one-off. I think the quality is going to ramp up. Mostly because of the way Bob mentions that the previous one, Hell's Bells, was the last one he skips, or the one previous to that. But especially, I'm watching it right now, and oh, man, that didgeridoo. They brought me back to when I was in that prog rock band and we had didgeridoo. Like, guys, here's a public service announcement, okay? If I could just have everybody be quiet just for a moment. Public service announcement. If you're in a band and one of the band members says, hey, you know what would be really great on this song is some didgeridoo? Run as fast as you can. Run and don't look back. That's just for me to you. Take it for what it's worth.
Cowbell is another matter altogether.
Cowbell is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. This wax dummy of demon is fantastic, too.
Like my favorite was when she poured the antidote in the garbage.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that was the point where I was like, because I thought it was going to be like an episode of the week.
Yeah.
And then as soon as she poured out, I'm like, oh no, here we go. And then at the end, because I'm like, oh, I hope they introduce this more. I hope they show, like they show the alternate worlds again. Mm-hmm. And then at one point they reveal, like, in the room beside her is, like, a zombified, like, medicated Xander. And in another room beside is, like, a medicated Willow. And they're all in the mental institution together. And
awesome.
She made it up because she was
on
it. I was like, please let this
and
happen.
And the head of the institution is Giles.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great. But he has a goatee because in alternate
like
universes
one of the
you need someone with a goatee.
Yeah, I'm like one of the orderlies is a spike.
Nice.
He comes in. I think it would be
hey,
great.
Steph.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it'd be wonderful if it did. That's all I have to say. Good night.
Stephanie?
So, am I the only person here that found this
are we actually working kind on a of delay? Do we have a delay?
Oh, are we?
I'm worried we have a delay. Steph, can you hear me?
Yes.
Stephanie? Hi, Steph.
Yes.
Did they film that Institution Hallway scene?
Steph's not saying anything. She's like...
I'm just trying to get her attention. Steph, is that scene right after the opening where we see people walking down the hallway, like those mental patients in the hallway, is that the dorms or the old high school? Or what set is that? Because it looks really familiar.
It looks just like you see Sunnydale.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. I think it's the dorms. I think it's the dorms or or the hallways to the class. Sorry, Moira, I totally cut you off.
Yep.
The thing that got me and made me think that this might be real after I was like, this is not, was when after she killed the demon, punched it in the stomach, had that goop all over her hand or whatever, they went to another scene when they're back in the institution. I'm like, if she killed it, it's done. Like, she's supposed to be back. What's going on?
Maybe it had to wear off.
Delighted.
Maybe the antidote took time to work through her system.
Maybe, because she didn't have it yet. Oh, I'm so enjoying this.
The scenes where she's going back and forth from real world to real world, and she's at the fryer.
Yeah.
I was petrified she was going to like fall in the fryer or something.
So ridiculous. I don't know if they, I didn't watch the opening credits and, you know, when the episode starts, the credits.
Yeah.
Because at the same time I was doing some other stuff. So I don't know if they teased that Christine Sutherland was going to be in it.
They mentioned Christine Sutherland and I should not have looked.
Did they?
You know, it's the 10th anniversary of
Lost. Oh, okay, because I didn't see that coming. And when I... You should know better.
I should know better than to look at the opening credits. My hand should be permanently in that position.
Because when I saw Joyce, it was like a honest to goodness, like, Joy! Like, I was so happy to see her.
Yeah, me too. Even though I knew she was coming, I didn't realize the context. And then when I saw her, I was super happy. And then that deadbeat was there, and I hate him.
he's not a deadbeat in this world.
Yeah, in this That's world, true. He's awesome.
He's part of her life.
I suppose.
Oh my god! And Joyce's whole monologue, I was like, I was like, I loved it.
How are you again?
I gotta watch it again. Like I will be watching it. It was tough because as I was, spoiler alert! As I was watching, I did a commentary. So it was tough to watch and speak at the same time because I was like, oh shit, I gotta keep talking.
That's the worst.
Okay, I don't know if I should spoil y'all or not.
No.
This is what.
Absolutely not.
Okay, then I won't tell you what Marty Noxon said about this episode.
Good.
Good. Tell us later.
Can I say that this episode had some really, really awesome moments for me. And one of them was I actually thought Buffy was going to kill Dawn.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, how disturbing is it to watch Buffy fight the Scoobies? It's so, it's just so disturbing.
In the case of Xander, it was really funny. I want to thank Robin.
I thought
Robin.
Tara was dead. I thought Tara was dead briefly. What, when she like fell down the stairs, I was like, what? How I get my wish?
I was hoping that this is where I got my Willow sees Buffy kill Tara and never forgives her and then turns evil. But it didn't happen. Tara was alive.
Yeah.
It was really too bad.
I feel something bad's going to happen to Tara or to Willow, because they keep ramping them up that they're going to get back together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this can't end well if I know my TV.
Well, already Willow saw Tara give that girl a kiss. So isn't everything over?
Oh, that was... Oh, come on. She kissed her on the cheek.
Was it really the anything. Cheek? Yeah. It was the side lip.
It was very, very close to the lip. And I was like, what are they trying lippage. To do here?
It was side lippage.
Yeah, and Americans, we don't greet each other that way.
We don't do that either here.
Well, we do that
to
here.
To the point where you're like, half. Well, I think they do that in Montreal and in Quebec, but I think, like, to the point where, like, half their lips are touching, that was just... I think no, it was just how I say hi to the mailman. To make it look like the angle.
Yeah.
Sorry, Illyrio, I cut you off.
It's okay, I was saying, I'm a freelancer, that's how I greet the mailman.
I think we are on a delay, yep.
No, it just took me a second to get the joke.
All right, Stephanie's on a delay. All right. This episode was so good!
Mm-hmm. It was.
And it actually made me doubt for a while.
When I started watching this episode, I was like, oh, here we go. You know, because quite honestly, the last couple of episodes have been kind of like, ah, whatevs. It's supposed to get good soon. That's why I wasn't really paying attention when it started. And I was like, I have to go back now and watch this again. Because I want to see everything that I missed.
Do you remember, Kim, the episode of Supernatural that was a little bit like this?
Yes. Is that the one with Dean and never mind, go ahead, tell me.
Wasn't it a genie? And it was gonna kill him, but it made him have these hallucinations of like the perfect life.
Yeah, when he got married and all that.
Yeah. That was
his parents were still alive.
Yeah, that was an homage to this episode.
Oh, really? Oh, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Except in Supernatural, it's more concrete and it's more... it's not that... Like in this one, Buffy chose. In that one, if Dean chose, then he was going to be killed.
He was going to die, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was so fantastic.
Yeah. It is brilliant.
The revelation that we get that Buffy was actually in an institution for a brief time. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting that at all.
It just makes total sense. It's just so... Okay, the only
thing
that you have to suspend your disbelief about is back when Joyce found out that Buffy was the Slayer, she didn't mention that Buffy was...
put in an institution.
Yeah, for a couple of weeks. That would was sure to have come up then and didn't. So that's the only part that you have to say, oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
So can I interject for a second?
Please.
Please.
I just rewatched this right before we came on air because I had watched this a few weeks ago. And actually... enjoyed it way more today than I did a few weeks ago, because a couple weeks back when I watched it, it just took the emotional wind right out of my sails. Like for me, I was stuck on the fact that if this had been real and Buffy really were a girl with schizophrenia who'd been living in this dream world for 6 years and then was forced in her fantasy mind to turn against her best friends and kill them. I just thought this was the most horrendous, agonizing, painful thing ever. Like, I was so distressed watching her going after her friends. I really was. And I had the most enormous hate on for Warren. I just want him to fucking die. Because
an idiot.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed. I'm so sick of seeing him. So I ended up sad and angry. And I actually sent you guys voice feedback on this.
Oh yeah, I have it queued up. Shall we listen to what it made you feel like?
You should see how upset I was.
All right, let's get some feedback here from Doc Brown. So, Moira, how long ago did you say you watched it?
Like three, almost, I don't know, early September, like 2.5 weeks.
I'm turning up the volume here. It's getting queued up. Come on. Do your thing, iPad.
Well, I remember from like when I was in school, we did a writing course.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to write little short stories every week and then present them to the class. And I remember reading this one story because I didn't really have an out for where I was going. Right. So in the end, I made it like, oh, it was a dream. And then the guy wakes up and was like, oh, that was crazy. And my teacher chewed me out. He's like, this is the cheapest way to get out of a really great story. You had us hooked. And then you do something like this where you can do a complete 180. This is garbage, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, okay.
But keep then in mind. No, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, but then I was thinking about this. I'm like, if it turns out to be all in Buffy's head,
yeah,
shouldn't I be angry because this is like a sin in the writing world? You shouldn't make it a dream because that's like gets everybody angry.
That's
However, I fucking love it. I think it's fantastic.
It's because the way they integrate it, it makes you think, oh, this could be real because it is so insane, the world of Sunnyvale.
The only way I think this could have been better is if this episode had been planned from the beginning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they had tiny little sprinklings from season one to now of what the hell was that? And then this big reveal would have been mind-blowing. Or if they had, you know, maybe not done it right, it would have been like leaked before and maybe it would have happened.
Like, listen to you guys now, I can totally appreciate how much genius this is, and I enjoy it more watching it today, but when I send my feedback to you guys, it's literally the second I turn the TV off. And it is, and having never seen the show before, you get my raw maybe who cares what I think, but still, it's my raw so it's quite raw.
Well, God. Moira, I would say that we do care what you think, because that's the whole point of the show, right? First time viewers and the first time impressions. So I finally, technology is being a bit of a bitka today. And one of you has some flowing air in the background. I don't know if someone has a fan on, but if you do, you might want to turn it off.
My Mac is, just a minute. It's close to my mic. Hang on.
Oh, I get it.
It's my MacBook.
Thank you.
Blowing
I appreciate
hot.
It.
It's literally.
I appreciate
literally
making changes.
Air.
It's literally blowing in.
In your Sorry layout. So let's hear, listeners and YouTube viewers. You can pretend to watch, but you can listen to what Moira's initial thoughts were immediately after watching the episode.
All right. So I just watched Normal again. This is Moira, by the way. Here's what I want to know. When is the whimsy going to come back into Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the series? We've just lost all the joy. We've lost all the fun. This is such a sad concept, in the sense that it's would be horrendous if it were true. I mean, if Buffy were really some poor girl in a mental institution and all of this were her incredibly detailed delusion, this would be the most profoundly sad thing ever, because, you know, she's being forced to kill her best friends. I just watched this play out and thought, this just keeps getting sadder and sadder and sadder, and there's just nothing, redeeming. You know how Buffy was saying in the last episode that Xander and Anya's wedding was the light at the end of her tunnel? Okay, at this point in the series, I need a light at the end of my tunnel, guys. I need something to grasp onto that's going to be positive. So I gather, then, that the three nerds are truly the big bad. Not all three of them. Really, just Andrew. Warren. God, I'm getting confused. Warren. And I want to see them gone. disintegrated, vanished from the face of Sunnydale. I'm sick of him being around. There's nothing redeeming about the rapist of Warren, and there's nothing about him that I want to continue to watch the story play out. You know, there's nothing about it that's fun anymore. So, there. I guess I've ranted. I'm trying to think if there's anything positive in this whole episode. Not really. We watched little Donnie's heartbreak. We watch William / Spike, you know, getting fed up with Buffy. Like, anyway, the only I've got one thing. The positive thing, Xander realized that he made a colossal, stupid boob move when he dumped Anya at the altar. That's about it. Okay, rant over. Ugh.
I was not a happy camper.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Oh.
Ger ugh.
Yeah. Rant over. Ugh.
Rant over, yeah. Indeed.
Hey, no, I totally get that. I totally get that.
I'm gonna play Ian's voicemail. Is that cool with you guys? We haven't heard from Ian in quite a while.
Absolutely not. Go ahead.
Whoa.
Go ahead.
Hi, before I get started on my feedback for Normal Again, I want to explain why I haven't seen feedback for a lot of season 6. And it's just that there's so many other voices out there on the problems of mid-season 6 that I didn't really want to add my voice to it. Because although there are some good parts of it, it's eventually worth it. And you just got to get to the end of season 6 and see how it works as a whole. How those episodes are in the end worth it. Anyway, Normal Again, and this episode, well, I do love it. I do really like it, but it's always very difficult to watch, and I just couldn't watch it again before sending feedback into you. There are other examples of this type of episode a lot since this was made, and you just can't buy the fake out anymore. And you don't want to buy the fake out anyway, because Buffy is such a hero.
Uh-huh.
And I think despite the fact that it's so well made, and despite the fact that Sarah Michelle Gellar is actually really good in this, not to say she's not always good, but in this especially so,
I would say she
find
is.
These sorts of episodes. You can't buy it anymore, as I said, because it's such a cliche now that the world you thought was real isn't real, but it is real now. So that's my feedback for this episode. Not much, I know, but really, you've got the end of the season to look forward to, and you need this. You kind of need this point where Buffy has gone through so much that she's ready for the end of the season. That's all I can really say. Bye, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Cryptic.
So, okay. He's saying that this is a cliche now. Is he saying, did y'all understand it to be that he's saying that we've seen this before since Buffy?
Yeah, I see what he's saying. I don't think he meant at the time when it came out it was a cliche, but now so many shows after Buffy have done this.
Yeah.
And I totally agree, because some of my favorite episodes on other TV shows was when they have the alternate universe episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
why do you
Heroes?
Think I wear this
that
goatee,
was probably my
folks.
Favorite episode.
I wear this goatee in honor of the greatest alternate
world.
Universe episode in the history of television, which is Star Trek's Mirror Mirror. All right?
Uh-huh.
I'm Evil Spock.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
You are Evil Spock.
Fascinating.
Oh, and I stopped Ian.
Your agonizer, from, please.
The other. What?
Sorry, Steph, he's from where?
I stopped Ian, and he is from the other Birmingham. This is from.
Oh. Cool.
He's from Birmingham, England.
Birmingham, England.
Going around to have a curry.
Like Duran Duran.
So can I just check back in with you people? So then, was I truly the only one that felt at all sad by this? Like, am I just very odd?
Yeah, it's just disturbing.
Oh, really? Oh,
I felt every emotion. Watching it, I was sad, but I was happy that I was sad because I was like, we've got a show again. We've got something to talk about.
Yes, and I do get that because it really was brilliant. I mean, I understand, you know, and like I say, looking at it again today, I could pick out of it more little bits and pieces that I liked that weren't about the overriding concept of a tortured mind.
Yeah. Because when you talk about, like, sad, I was mostly sad for Buffy's parents, you know, because if this world does exist, they've been hovering over her for 6 years to snap out of it. Like,
I know. Yes,
what is that?
It's agonizing, right?
Yes.
And then, we see her. We see Joyce again, and you know, she could have her mother back if she decided.
Yes.
Yes. And a father that's not a deadbeat.
Yeah.
And then the thing that pissed me off about Dawn was the one scene we have with her. It becomes all about Dawn. Oh, and I wasn't even in your other universe. I just wanted to smash her. I thought, this is not about you.
I hate her right more now. Than ever.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm not even in your other alternate universe.
You'd rather have a life where you were catatonic in an insane asylum because you don't want to be with me.
Exactly.
Oh my God, what a jackass.
Funny that Xander got whacked with a frying pan given last episode, that he supposedly was going to whack Anya with a frying pan in the future.
I didn't notice that.
I hate Xander Harris. Don't even care anymore. Fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. Yes, oh my God.
Testify, Gabby. Testify.
Oh my God. What's funny about this episode to me is I had been told by somebody that they didn't think that I was going to like this episode at all. And for the life of me, I was trying to figure out why as I started watching it. And, you know, I see the three stooges and I'm like, oh, Jesus, this is going to be more of these guys. And then shit got real I don't know. going back and forth and little part, like I was. I'm not even kidding, like sitting on the, like instead of laying there half asleep on the couch, I was actually sitting upright on the edge of it, just like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? And I'm texting Tammy and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this just happened. I'm like freaking out, like live tweeting basically, but live texting to Tammy about it. And I just was so in love with it. And then there's a little thing at the very, very, very end when Buffy goes catatonic, it reminded me so much of one of my favorite movies, Sucker Punch. In this one particular scene at the very, very, very end, before a lobotomy happens, there's this just little flash, and that totally reminded me of that. It was spooky, and I loved it. I loved this episode so much. And what scares me is that this is it. I love this episode, and now it's over, and they're all going to be downhill from here.
No, they won't, though, because everybody's implying to us that it's only going to ramp up and get better.
But I liked this so much, and I want to see more, and I'm like, you know what? It's not going to happen.
No,
this is it. This is a one-off thing, and this is over, and it's all downhill for me.
Yeah. But how depressing would it be if, like, this was the finale?
Oh, that would have been the best finale ever to me.
And then
I would be catatonic.
It ends with Buffy's head leaning against the side of her padded room.
Oh, I would love it.
everyone crying. Like, how depressing would that be? They can't have this on the WB. This, it's not going to end like this.
Well, it had already moved to UPN, right?
So stuff on the UPN can end like
this. It's or but, the CW, whatever it is at this time.
That's just me. But may I point my finger of the what endings to a show known as Saint Elsewhere? Where we found out that the entirety of the series was in the mind of a mentally challenged child holding a snow globe.
snow globe.
What if ending. I want to watch that show now?
Well, it does have a young Mark Harmon and a very young and fit Denzel Washington. But, you know.
How crazy is that?
It's on the list of the most memorable finales ever that they play every year at finale time. Yeah. Just saying.
So, yeah, that would have been a really good ending.
For me, it would have been the best.
This episode is not perfect for me because of the lack of a Tara death or a Dawn death, but especially Tara not dying. Mm. This was the perfect moment.
Yeah.
No, guys, not for having the character die, because I'm not that much of a monster, even though she's a fictional character and I can wish her death as many times as I wish. But for the impetus to drive Willow mad and to have her go insane herself and become evil. That's what I'm talking about.
I still think Kimberly's got something there. Earlier when she said she thinks all these hints about the relationship between Tara and Willow are leading us to think they're going to get back together. So something disastrous is bound to happen.
Well, that was supposed to be it.
Probably, yeah, right? Willow's going to have a reason to have vengeance or whatever. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm still holding out hope.
For death.
I want evil Willow so badly. I really do.
We're such horrible people.
Yes.
We're hoping for death and vengeance.
Yes.
I'm not hoping for it. I'm not hoping for it. I just feel it's coming because that's a trend, especially in this show.
I'm not hoping for it. I'm hoping for it. I
have $50 writing on this, so you know.
Remember Leatherclad Willow in the other badass world?
Yes.
Whatever episode that was.
Another alternate world.
The Wish?
Yeah. That's an awesome Willow song. Yeah, so I want to see more of that. Anyway, we'll see.
I'm going to read, let's see what wise and witty things Rachel Horn has to say. Spoilers, blah, blah, normal again. So the geek fandom is totally divided on this episode. Some may say that this episode is a ripoff of Star Trek or every sci-fi show ever. And some may argue quite vehemently that the ending is total bullshit and it undermines everything that we have witnessed Buffy go through, fight through, survive through. So here's my take. Buffy season 1-6 is real. She is the chosen one, fought the master, stabbed Angel, fought fate, survived high school, dealt with Riley, sacrificed herself to save Dawn, rap, danced for Sweet, effed Spike, and now is living. This episode is a
very, very nice. That was perfect.
Oh my god.
The delay is hilarious. Okay. This episode is wonderful beyond words because she chooses to live in this crappy world. Dead mother, delinquent dad, dead lover, addict best friend, other friend who leaves fiance at altar, make-believe, needy klepto sister and all. She has the choice to stop the pain, to choose easy, to have her mom and dad back, to be happy, but she chooses life. Whatever you take from this episode, take this. All of the sacrifices throughout the series, Buffy choosing this crappy existence of season 6 over the easy out of the alternate world is the biggest sacrifice you will ever see from her. It hurts. Also, the last scene pisses people off. Dudes, the drugs need time to work. 10 out of 10 Joyces. Rachel Normal again, Horn. That was wise and weedy.
Yep.
I'm going to read an email from Fry, because Fry, if ever you accidentally fall into a cryogenic tube and wake up 3,000 years in the future, you have the perfect name. Oh, shit. Love it or hate it, this episode is like my 11th favorite episode. Do you think it's all in your head? I hope not all of you agree. It will make the discussion more interesting. It's hard to talk about this episode without spoiling you guys. I have heard people say that it isn't all in her head because the show Angel is proof. But one thing people are forgetting is she's crazy. She might think she's two people or something. Yes, it's a cliche. Yes, it's been done before. But I love this episode. I have seen Home, Hush, Blink, etc. This is the only episode of TV that I have seen in recent years that truly terrifies me. It is an entirely unenjoyable episode, but you know what? That's the point. I love the end. I love the tone. I love the episode. 10 out of 10, hopefully awesome discussions. Thank you, Fry.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe the reason it freaks me out so much is because when you talk to somebody who really has had delusions like this, and you realize that in that moment those things are completely real for them,
uh-huh.
I think that's why it was killing me so much, because I thought, oh, if this were really a girl in an institution, and you know, she's been away from her real world for 6 years, it's just so sad.
Yeah. Oh. I think what makes it not painful, but like polarizing, is that the alternate world that we were introduced to in this episode, mm-hmm. is more realistic than the actual, yes. show. You know? So you're like, well, duh, of course.
Like,
of
course. So,
yes, I mean, the doctor does his whole exposition and explaining, you know, like I think Gabby alluded to, you know, the role of Dawn and why she created her. And you sit there and you think, this makes perfect sense.
It's easy to buy. It's so it's easier to buy that than a show, yes. about a girl that's crazy. And she, yeah. finds out that she really has been slaying vampires. And it's like, all right, yeah.
And it's also what we have kind of been bitching about the whole time. That couldn't happen. Oh, come on. S.O.D. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the writer said, yes, this is a ridiculous premise.
Oh, it's amazing.
I think it's the writer's big middle finger to everyone who was making fun of the show. Or like, oh, this is so ridiculous. I think it's brilliant. Yeah, it is. I love it.
I think it was the writer's middle finger to us, because they have a time machine and they know how we feel. That's what I want to believe. You know, my little delusional world.
It's funny. I don't feel like it's a ripoff of what Star Trek did, because it has its own unique little twist, because it's built on 6 years of history. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much detail in Buffy's quote-unquote delusion, and when they keep explaining away every aspect of it, it just makes your little heart sink more and more and more. And so in a way, it has a lot more layering and believability to it if it were a delusion, because some delusions are incredibly complex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, there are people who have delusions that are this complicated. So yeah, it was amazing.
Oh.
Anyway, wow. What about Spike, you guys? Spike with his little line. If you don't tell your friends, I'm going to.
Yeah, because it's over now, so why even bring it up to the Scoobies?
Oh, well, it's never over.
Exactly. I don't think Spike really believes it yet.
He probably thinks they're on a break.
This is an episode of Friends.
Yep. Yeah, Buffy and Spike are the Ross and Rachel of, yes. the
Oh my god, they're gonna have a baby together.
Oh my god. They're gonna. She's gonna. He's gonna. They're gonna find a sweater that may or may not have belonged to Spike. We don't know.
Oh my god.
Or somebody. Or somebody from Double Meat Palace.
Oh my gosh.
I'm convinced.
Spike's gonna marry someone else, but he's gonna say, "I take you, Buffy." Right?
Oh my god!
Spoilers, guys.
Oh my god.
Illyria has never watched Friends. He doesn't know.
Has he? What?
What?
I don't think he's.
Illyria, you've watched Friends, right?
Yeah, yeah, I've watched the show with no black people on it.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Aisha Tyler was on it, and she dated both Ross yes. and Joey.
Mm-hmm.
Lana, Lana!
Aisha.
So well, I want Spikey, to. We'll see. I want to see whether he's going to make good on his bet.
I want to mention the part two what? Of a Star Trek: The Next Generation episode called "Chain of Command." I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. You're probably more familiar with the meme, "There are four lights."
Not at all.
It's where Jean-Luc Picard is captured and tortured. And part of the torture is he's continuously asked, how many lights are there? And there are four lights, but they keep telling him, no, there are five. And then they keep torturing him. And it's basically kind of, it's inspired, if not plagiarized, from 1984 by George Orwell. And... Mm-hmm. At the very, very end of the episode, when he's released and rescued, Picard actually relents and says that there are five lights when he's been adamant and adamant and adamant that there are four. And that's the same feeling I had when I watched Buffy make her choice to go to the world that's difficult, to go to the world that's full of craziness and demons, and where she has this unrelenting duty, where as much as I'd love to be here, as much as I'd love to live this life, which would be order of magnitudes easier than the one I'm actually living, where my mom is alive, where my father isn't someone I hate, where I don't have an annoying sister I invented... where I don't have to deal with other people's shit all the time and have to put my stuff on the back burner and can't even tell my friends that I'm stopping a vampire. I choose the difficult life. I choose the difficult life, and it's interesting to me how she's so broken at the end, you know, in that last scene with her, you know, when she's in the corner, that she's an empty shell of herself. And so for me, it does make sense that they show us that at the end, where it's not, oh, guys, it's real. She's catatonic again. It's that version of Buffy is no more, and it's broken, and it's no longer, that's no longer going to happen. That's no longer going to be an avenue. And every single possibility that could have ever happened is the thing, right? So maybe that was an alternate universe.
I would like to see that door be open and stay open for the remainder of the series. I would like her to know. I'd like the audience to know that it exists as well.
Well, he says that she had a momentary break where when she died, she came back. I can't even explain what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He says when she died and was in heaven, he explains that as being her being actually in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe there's a
claiming that her friends pulled her out of reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that bitch, Willow.
She's so sad. And of course,
it just, the more this doctor explains it, the more it's like, of course.
Yeah. I know.
That's what's so... amazing and what's the other word? Like amazing and frustrating.
Mm.
I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tammy was telling me she was trying to. She and Brad were trying to find an article for me, but I guess the gist of the article was they were just kind of playing devil's advocate of, well, you know, Buffy's alternate world where she's in an asylum kind of makes sense if you go back to Ted, where he threatens to put her away. Like if you jump from, and then if that stop, like if he puts her away from there, everything in between Ted and this particular episode is just all fantasy.
I think that's kind of convenient for the article's sake, because I personally want to think that this, the concept of this episode came well after season 1, 2, 3, yeah. You know?
I agree.
I just thought that was kind of an interesting, I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
Steph.
I never would have put that together.
The actor who plays the doctor, have we seen him before? He looks familiar. I just thought maybe he was someone who played someone else and then they brought him back.
No, I think he was in like Hill Street Blues.
Oh, okay, never mind. Which I watched like that. Until that cop threw that kid off the roof and then I was traumatized. Kids, watch out with
you. Spoilers, man! Jeez!
Parents, watch out what your kids watch at night, okay? All I'm gonna say. Hey,
careful out there.
We have an email from Missy.
Missy Poo.
Hi, Gax. Joyce and Hank Summers. I'm always thankful that they could get Dean Butler back for his appearances, and how great it was to see Christine again. Willow is really jumping to some conclusions with that whole Tara was seeing someone else stuff. Lols. Xander's back, my poor sweet Xander. Warren and Andrew are keeping Jonathan in the dark, which I'm sure will end well for everyone involved, because how could it not, right? I'm not sure why, because it makes sense, kind of, but fans were really annoyed with the apparent retcon regarding Buffy had been in a clinic in the past. Spike and Xander together are like the best buddy cop team ever. A few episodes ago, Illyrio mentioned that Dawn was taller than Buffy, and all I could think about was this scene when Buffy says, "I should be taller than you." Spike really chews Buffy out. I think he's trying to help her, I think, but it's so hard to tell through all that bitterness. So Buffy's death at the end of season 5 was her escaping the Sunnydale illusion? I like that idea more than I should. Ha! Buffy attacks and locks up all her friends in the basement, and ironically, Xander gets a frying pan to the face this episode. The universe's way of making things right. The final scene in the asylum is so compelling and thought-provoking. It's the cherry on top of this amazing episode that I adore so much. From Simone. Thank you, Simone! We had another...
Okay, yeah, Spike is not acting...
Go ahead, Steph.
Sorry, I was just saying, Spike is not acting the way... He was being so mature and in Hell's Bells, and in this episode he's just so bitter. I just don't know what changed, what happened.
Maybe he had time to let stuff sink in more, I guess.
Or maybe he's Spike.
How we expected him to behave.
We had another.
Yeah, I don't think he'll let it go because he's going to be alive forever. So that's not going to be like, he's not just going to forget it.
Immortality's not all it's cracked up to be.
Oh, it would be the worst.
Especially when you like to hold grudges.
I think it would be the worst. Just the absolute worst. Ugh, nothing to look forward to. We had another email from Brent. It's not episode specific, but Brent, just to answer your question, and if anybody else is wondering, we don't talk about it very often. Redemption Cast is not done. It hasn't pod faded. It's on hiatus so that we can focus on Buffy while Robin focuses on Intro to X.
Oh, snap.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I can't stop.
You're being very immature, Gibby.
Sorry, Robin.
I know. I'm a jerk.
So,
but yeah, we want to speed through Buffy.
Let's talk about these geeks.
Everything on Angel.
Shall we talk about these geeks?
Oh, no.
So,
the rapist Warren and his friends. Yes.
Yes.
I don't want to forget that they were in the.
Jonathan is not being filled in on what's going on, and that's a very interesting thing.
Nope.
So it makes me think now Jonathan's going to turn on those two guys to save the day.
This is what I'm thinking as well.
When we thought it was going to be Jonathan and Andrew, what's his name? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? I know they're going to serve a purpose soon, and I just want it to be done with so we can get rid of these guys for good.
I don't think we're getting rid of them.
Sorry, Jonathan. I know everyone loves Jonathan.
We're five episodes away from the finale. I think these geeks are sticking around for this season at least.
Yeah. I hope they don't trickle into next season.
Oh yeah, let's get rid of them season. Yes, please. I'm not interested at all.
Yeah.
At all. But yeah, I think Jonathan's going to turn on them.
Which is a shame, because I'm sure they're really nice guys.
No, Warren's an asshole.
They're just a little bit
rapey. I mean, in real life. I'm sure they're nice guys.
Yes, indeed.
They're just a little bit rapey.
Yeah.
That's a touch.
Don't use that word.
The worst.
What, a little bit rapey? A touch?
The word touch. The word touch. So I was, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I did not expect her to dump the antidote in the trash. I think we can all blame Spike for this. But when she dumped it in the trash, I was...
Why?
Well, because he's the one that kept teasing her and giving her a hard time. It was totally Spike's fault that she dumped the antidote in the trash.
No, I think it's the poison in her system's fault.
No, it was immediately after the conversation they had in her room, where he was being such a meanie jerk face.
I thought it was her mother's fault that she dumped it in the trash.
Yeah, I thought it was her mother and seeing the alternate world.
Yeah, exactly.
Her mother's monologue.
Mm-hmm. It's Dawn's fault because she really doesn't want to be around Dawn. Dawn's right.
All right.
Everything's Dawn's fault.
You've convinced me. I agree.
Dawn.
I agree with Gabby. It's all Dawn's fault.
God.
How about Facebook feedback?
Yes. That would be excellent. Let me pull that up right now.
Illyrio, I think you're the one on delay.
Listen.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know what's going on, but clearly there's a delay. I'm trying to work through it. The problem is, I think it's the only way that we can get the audio to work properly is if there's a stupid delay. Because if I change stuff in the audio, it's just going to...
I agree.
You know, there's going to be echo, it's going to be annoying, and I don't want that to happen. So, I'm going to go to
good call.
Robin's thing, and the 34 comments, let's do this! By the way, I do just want to
say... Someone remind me I just turned the stove on, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, I do think...
When would you like that reminder?
In about 4 minutes.
I do think that we are the only intro cast.
I'll get off my timer right now.
I do believe we're the
only intro cast.
I do believe we're the only intro cast who reads all of its Facebook feedback. So, Gabby says, F that guy. Dylan says, my minor observations for this episode. Why ring the doorbell when you're just going to walk yourself then anyway? And once again, Dawn just made it all about her, and so did Spike. No wonder Buffy's so quick to check out. The whole institution side of the episode is just one big info dump. Hell, most of the episode was exposition. That's what this episode was about. A recap. I don't dislike this episode, but every time I rewatch, it just bores me. Plus the whole it's all in your head trope. It's kind of meh. Bob says, finally, I can start watching Buffy again. That stretches why I would never do a Buffy podcast despite it being my favorite show. I would have no listeners left. There are fans that absolutely hate the thought of their beloved Sunnydale not being real, but I like this episode. I'm a complete sucker for alternate reality episodes, and it was great to see Joyce again. I also am one of the few that like the trio, and the didgeridoo of evil was a nice little touch. I love all the meta commentaries this episode makes about the characters, the entire series, and the fans, but of course I can't quote any of them. I'm sure you guys will have a field day with that. While I'm sure most people were delighted with Buffy taping Dawn's mouth shut, I was even happier with her beating Xander up. Patrick says, so it turns out Buffy's secretly a 12-year-old autistic boy with a snow globe or something. Yes, Patrick! Like that one! Tammy says, this is my favorite episode of Buffy. When I watched it live, I was speechless afterwards. I do not usually care for open-ended endings, but this worked hardcore for me. Now when I do rewatches, I have in the back of my head, I wonder what she is telling the doctors at the asylum. I think it was on the Slayerettes podcast, but they discussed somebody's headcanon that Buffy has been in the asylum since the episode Ted, as he had threatened to put her in a mental institution for writing about being a Slayer. Obviously, yeah. The show was not written for this, but I am in love with that theory. Can't wait to hear the discussion about this episode. Garland says, I'm all on board with this one till that ridiculous last scene. It was all a dream, is my least favorite TV trope. May as well be an evil twin from a soap opera or something.
Yes.
Ugh, sours the whole thing. And Dawn, holy whining Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, holy whining Batman. How is she still just the worst? It is nice to see Joyce again, but still. Heidi. Ads. I love this episode. I have seen a lot of What If episodes on television, and I feel this is one of the most well done. I'm still not positive that the reality we know is the true reality. There is a reason for everything in the mental institution, and it just works. Love seeing Joyce. I really enjoy episodes that make me think, and this one does that for me. Rich says, by the way, nice mustache, Rich. Rich says, first time around, this was one of my favorites of the series. Still is. The last scene seems kind of wonky, but I think that's just the writers paying homage to the classic shows that have done this before them. I don't take it too seriously. But the psychology of this episode is beautiful and introspective, and I really like the episodes that make me think. This is in the top tier of those. Val says, that was one funky-looking demon that poked Buffy in the arm. Not one of the better looking demons for sure. Joyce! And there's a dead.
Have we seen this demon before?
I don't think so.
No, yeah. I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, Spike has, but we haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Spike gets around.
Kimberly, you're at 3 minutes, 45 seconds.
Thank you. I'm hovering.
Boil watch. So Val says. That was what, Joyce, and there's Deadbeat Hank, too. I really enjoyed this one and don't have a problem with it at all, but I know some fans hated on it, as Bob DeGrand noted. Rachel Horn and I have a friend who practically has cartoon steam coming out of her ears at the mere mention of the title. It pisses her off that much. I laugh every time Buffy whacks Xander with a frying pan. It was so unexpected. Kind of ironic that in Hell's Bells we see not real future Xander going after Anya with a frying pan, and this ep we see him get hit, clunked with one. I love how Buffy was stalking Dawn. No way the Shrieker was getting away. Wish we could have seen what she did to Willow to get her in the basement too. Nitpick. Every time I see this episode, I always think, come on, Willow and Dawn. You could work together to get yourself untied, couldn't you? 8 out of 10 frying pans to the head. Taylor wants us to know. I love this episode. The show gets to go meta with season 6, gets to acknowledge a lot of complaints that people were having as it aired via the doctor, and we get Joyce. I also really like that Buffy has to choose which reality to live in. Much like Gone, Buffy makes the decision to live. Hospital world must be pretty close to heaven. Mother and father, no slayer responsibilities and no financial responsibilities. But again, Buffy chooses Sunnydale. Buffy chooses her friends and Buffy chooses her responsibilities. I find this episode very powerful and I even like the end scene. 9 out of 10 frying pans upside the head. Sylvia says, I pretty much agree with the majority. Love this episode. Love the entire concept and the way it's executed. Yes, even the end scene. This episode is the beginning of why I think many fans consider season 6 their favorite. And it's that old adage of it's not how you start, but how you finish. Robin says, Let my praise for this episode ring out as loudly as a frying pan to Xander's head. I could go over all the points of greatness, but I just want to point out the scene where Buffy tells Joyce she's letting go. It's at this point that I really buy into the idea that this may be cold, hard reality. There was nothing sinister about that mental hospital, no hint that it may be some sort of demonic influence. When that exchange happens, I actually feel terrible for Joyce. Me too. I'd have to say that that's exactly the same way I felt that when Buffy decides to go back to her real world, the effect that this has on Joyce, regardless whether she's pretend or not, totally, totally, totally hit me hard. It really did. I actually feel terrible for Joyce, who gets her daughter.
Buffy just needs to find her constant, and then everything will go back.
Not Penny's.
But he's in L.A.
Because Joyce is the only one that exists in both worlds, right?
Well, the dad is too, technically.
The nurse is also her manager at the Mr. Klux.
Is it? I thought they changed the actress. It was
two different people.
Really? Then they missed their chance. No. Yeah. Oh no! Because then it would have been. Oh, then it would have been obvious.
Because one had.
No, it wouldn't have been obvious.
One had brown hair and one had blonde hair.
Never mind. Let's continue with Robin's comment here. I actually feel terrible for Joyce, who gets her daughter back after 6 years and then loses her all over again. We see Buffy come out of it. Or go back into it and defeat the demon, but then we get just an amazingly haunting ending that deserved a Rod Serling voiceover. Picture, if you will, a girl whose inner demons materialize in her dreams, whose need for family creates imaginary friends and a sister who never was, a helpless girl with power she can possess only in her own mind, a girl whose mind is somewhere in the deepest regions of the Twilight Zone. This is not only a huge highlight for the season, but also for the series, to me. 10 out of 10, Buffy's flying over a cuckoo's nest. Where is Anya? Val says...
Yeah, where is Anya?
Val says, Robin, I too love that ending scene with Buffy and Joyce. It might be my favorite scene along with Xander getting frying panned. I especially thought Geller's acting was a highlight. She's so amazing with her tear-filled eyes, and even that simple little last word she utters was very powerful the way it was delivered. On a lighter note, I don't know which antidote was worse. The beaker of antifreeze Angel gave Buffy an earshot, or the mug of brown goop Willow gave her? Sylvia says, I would say it's a toss-up on the gross antidote front. Yuck. Bruce says... Welcome back, Joyce and Hank! I don't like the retcon, but just about everything else is brilliant. Last episode, a demon created drama by playing around with Xander's biggest fear. Now it's Buffy's turn. Xander ran from his fear, which left Anya with her own choice to make, and Anya's is the closer parallel with Buffy's. What DeHoffern and Joyce are pushing for is a step back to what Buffy and Anya wanted after they arrived in Sunnydale. Buffy begged Giles to leave her alone and just let her be a normal person. Anya didn't want to be a person at all and pleaded with DeHoffern to make her a demon again. We don't know Anya's answer yet, but Buffy chose not to go back. We have to go back, Kate! I'm still figuring out...
Again, one of my favorite episodes.
Yes.
I'm still figuring...
That's the alternate universe episode. Love it!
That was the finale of season 4, right?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still figuring out season 6, so does anyone know if Buffy's decision is predicated on anything that happens in the asylum? Is there anything that lets her know what's real? I'm starting to think that her decision is all internal. Buffy has learned that life isn't bliss, and that the hardest thing in this world is to live in it. Or maybe she just thought the doctor was a quack. Is that even a type of treatment? Convincing the psychotic patient that killing people is the best way to feel better? Yeah, can we talk about that? We have a doctor on our podcast. Dr. Brown. Do you think that counseling someone to kill their imaginary friends is a good idea or a bad idea?
I think it is a bad idea.
All right.
Because when people have their imaginary construct, as I said earlier, for them that's real. And mm-hmm. so anything you ask them, you know, in theory to do within that construct, they would have real feelings about. Mm-hmm. So why in hell would you ever ask somebody to kill their best friend?
I don't know. I don't think he asked her to. I think he just said get rid of them.
Well, okay, but still.
So do you indulge in their... In their
no, because,
delusions?
No, because in reality, when you're talking to somebody who has delusions, you don't argue with them, but you don't really buy into it either. You know, it's a bit like talking to an Alzheimer's patient. You don't try to convince them that they're wrong, but you don't become part of that world either. Okay. You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
You just...
Because what would happen to her if she say she interpreted it as killing them, right?
Mm-hmm.
When she bounces back into reality, she'll still harbor those feelings of, oh my God, I'm a murderer, you know?
I don't know if it's so much that. I think it's more that if you, I think that if you're trying to talk to somebody as if their delusional reality is reality, you're not helping them any. That's part of it too. It's just, it's serving a purpose. And the reality is when people get treated and they come away from their delusional state, they can look at you and say, wow, that was crazy. Like they're able after the fact to tell you that they can appreciate how far away they were from reality. But in the moment when they're there, it's real for them.
Mm.
Yeah. So no, I wouldn't play into it, and I also wouldn't ask them to do something that if you were asking it of a person in real life would be emotionally detrimental to them.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Yeah, but the other thing that, of course, is completely unrealistic about their premise that she's, well, to be fair, I guess you really can be in a catatonic state for a long time and truly not communicate at all, but I would argue that's extremely rare, like really rare in schizophrenia. I mean, like most people, that's not the case.
So interesting.
My phone died, so someone else picked up.
I got Ray's feedback. Okay. Ray says, I'm conflicted about this episode. There are things I really like, but overall I don't feel like it totally worked. First things first, though, and that is that SMG is really, really great in this one, and it's a lot of fun to see Joyce and Hank again. But the biggest problem for me is the ambiguous ending. By leaving it up to the viewer to decide if the whole show is just a crazy girl's mind or if it's real, just ends up devaluing the stuff we see going forward and the whole series, really, because nothing we see really matters if the whole show didn't actually happen.
Exactly.
To me, they were trying to do something high concept and it just ended up not quite working out. Now, if you take away that ending, I feel like this is actually a very good Hour of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The flashing between Sunnydale and the asylum is a clever way of shining a light on just how crazy the whole series sounds when you say it out loud. Very meta, but in a cool way. And I actually felt a lot of tension during the climax. So while I overall really enjoy this one and think it's really good, I just can't help but feel like they would have been better off clearly telling the audience that the asylum was fake rather than leaving it up in the air. Okay, Ray. There are two kinds of people in this world. There are people who want want their television table, you know, forced their spooned to them, and it all just makes perfect sense, and it's all explained and wrapped up in a box. And there's some people who like to think, like, I can see this episode in two different ways. I can see that it's both, it can be either one at the same time.
Yes. That's the brilliance of it, yeah. Is that it can be both.
How would it have ended if they didn't do this? It needed that hook of leaving it up in the air. It just wouldn't have worked any other way. It would have been lame. Robin Burge says, the ending is what makes this episode stand out in my humble opinion. It's ballsy and I love it. Ray says, but don't you think that it kind of devalues the whole series by saying that the whole show didn't happen? No, because it's leaving it up to you. What do you think? It can be one or the other, and it can be both at the same time.
Yeah.
They are downplaying their own show and telling fans in a way that it doesn't matter that much because it's not real. I get what they're going for, but it just doesn't work for me. But I do think that the episode overall is really good in general. They should be trying to make the things that happen on the show more important to the viewer, not less. It's not that it's not important, it's just...
Yeah, I think he's latching on to the... It was all a dream.
Mm-hmm. Garland says, exactly, it cheapens the message in the show that purports to be the way to process really heavy and important themes, all the way from high school is hell to death of the parent and the pain of the mundane stuff afterwards that makes you realize how life goes on through metaphor. It's practically a video of the writers patting themselves on the back and being giddy over how clever they are. What's the metaphor here? 1 out of 10 slaps to the fan's face.
Oh, wow.
No. Robin says, it takes a lot of what-if scenarios, and I think I take it as a what-if scenario. Okay, Robin says, I take it as a what-if scenario, and I think these self-aggrandizing writers you speak of intended it to be that way. I don't think it devalues the show at all. It elevates it. Tammy says, I think the world is about to collapse, Robin. Robin Burge and I agree on a TV show.
The world is ending.
Okay, so Kim, you just finished watching it. You loved it. Kim says, we're creeping into innocence territory with how much I enjoyed this episode.
Mm.
Simone says, I have hopes this means you're really going to dig the last 5 episodes. Robin says, it's all in the mental hospital spoilers. And Bruce says, crap. Bruce says, you mean the world isn't a mental hospital? Kim says, I think I might be a sucker for alternate realities. Ray says, I'm not saying that I dislike the episode because I do like it, but I just think the writers are trying for something at the end that could cheapen the series if you choose to look at it that way. Robin, I do take it as a kind of one-off what-if scenario, so it doesn't bother me all that much, but I just feel like telling the viewers that the show might not exist at all is a little...
Oh, I totally understand what Ray's saying. I get his point. But the point is that it's both, you know? Yeah. You can't latch onto one or the other because there's a very good possibility it could be either.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're not telling us is what makes it better because they're not saying that it is a dream. Or that she is in a mental institution. That's up to you, right? Is that right?
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Bruce says, Buffy has finally dealt with a problem and is leaving it behind, and it fits the episode nicely. Tio says, if the show was from Buffy's point of view, I would believe that ending, but it's clear that the show is not only about Buffy's experience. It's central, but not the only and main issue. Like most of you here, I love the alternate reality that we see in this episode, and I really feel for Buffy in this episode. Well, this whole season, actually. 9 out of 10, 50 shades of Buffy's bondage for the whole family. Not my Christian.
Oh my God.
Thanks, everyone.
Anyway, thank you.
Buffy just threw Xander down the stairs.
I'm just so glad that we have an episode to talk about that's good.
I've forgotten what that was like,
and
guys.
That we're not all like, oh, when's it gonna get better?
Sorry.
I'd forgotten what that was like.
Sorry, Illyrio.
I'd forgotten what that was like.
I mean, granted, I wasn't here for the conversation, but the last episode wasn't a bad episode. It just filled me with hate and rage and made me want to...
Agreed.
Bitch slap dudes.
Agreed. But we were faced with quite a few disappointing ones this year. This season.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All of them. Mm-hmm. Most of them.
Mm-hmm. I have no more points.
Okay.
Neither do I.
Done.
Should we rate? Or quote? What do we do first?
We do ratings.
Great. Next time. All right. It's next time.
We do ratings. We tell people how they can reach us, and then we do quotes, and then we talk about next time, and then we blow this pop stand.
And go watch Gotham.
I still have to watch the rest of Doctor
Honestly,
Who.
Honestly, I can't get... Doctor what? What's a Doctor Who?
God.
Doctor Who?
Never got
Doctor. Stop it, Gabrielle.
I honestly thought the doctor's name was Who. Anyways, I know nothing about the show.
Well, so did
know,
I. For
you
the
know, Kimberly,
time
Kimberly, in the old series, Kimberly, in the original series, the credits actually did list the actors who played the Doctor as Doctor Who in the credits. So you're not too far off.
Okay, Gotham. Well, I can talk about Buffy, and I can say that this episode brought me back. I love this episode. Like, just after my initial reaction watching it, because, like I was saying earlier, we're not supposed to like the episodes when it's a dream. We're supposed to be angry. But the way that it came about and it was revealed, because the more and more we were in this asylum, the more it made sense. And I'm like, fuck yeah, that is so right. That's right. Like, you know, and I was like torn between, I'm like, is this for real? Like, they're not really doing this, right? Like, no, they can't. I was having that inner monologue with myself. I loved it. Like I said, it was approaching innocence territory. I'm going to give this 9.99999 out of 10 padded rooms. I loved it.
So why not a 10?
Because Innocence is still my favorite, right. And I can't give it a perfect 10.
Got it.
Actually, what did I give? Didn't I give Innocence an 11? So maybe I will give this a 10. I'm just going to say, this is fantastic. I've not liked this episode of the show in so long. I loved it.
Awesome.
Mic drop. Next.
You've been so thirsty for goodness, you guys. You've been thirsting for this. Yeah.
I want to know what Gabby's going to give it. Seriously.
Wow. Am I that much of a wild card?
No, because because when you're harsh, you're harsh. But when you like an episode, the way you gush about it is just like, yes.
Well, if you must know, I would almost deduct points for the fact that the three were involved, except the rest of it was so fucking amazing that I forgot about them. I completely 100% forgot about them. And I was into this episode and I loved every minute and I loved the darkness and I wanted it to keep going and I wanted her to be crazy. And I'm so, but at the same time, like I said before, I'm so scared. I'm like, that this is it and that's all going to be downhill from here. So I'm going to give this, oh, fuck it. I loved this episode so much, it hurts. I will give it 10 out of 10 catatonic states.
Nice.
Nice.
It was amazing. And I can't believe Tammy thought I was going to hate it.
Oh, wow, really?
Well, Gabby, I'll tell you this. Robin and I discussed it. And we were afraid you would hate it.
Why?
Because was it the wish you hated?
I don't know.
All right. I declare it's my turn. And hopefully this delay won't mess this up. But here's what I think about this episode. We have Buffy not sure if she's sane. She didn't have a convenient red letters stamped on her hand to tell her. We have Joyce. We have Buffy's friends being thrown down the stairs. We have Tara falling down the stairs after Buffy thinks that she's Clara Oswald and reaches from under the stairs. And we have... kind of a weird waxy demon. We have Spike convincing Buffy to dump the antidote in the garbage, and I have proof coming up soon. And I am just going to give this episode because of the fact that it was a little bit of a stretch when it came to everything that happened, and there are a little bit of things to nitpick, but boy oh boy was it awesome. I'm gonna give this 9.5 out of 10 old timey keys to the basement door.
Nice. Good job. Okay, that leaves me, I think.
Yeah, go ahead, Moira.
What's up, Steph? Okay, if I had rated this episode right after I watched it, when I got my ever so sad feedback. I probably would have rated it like 5 out of 10 because I was so distraught. Mm-hmm. But upon second viewing and upon chatting with you guys, I think the pure genius of how they show us that Buffy in the real world makes more sense than Buffy in Crazy Sunnydale.
Yes.
You know, because they sell it so well and because it made me feel so much emotion. I'm going to give it 9.5 out of 10 bits of light at the end of the tunnel because you guys gave me back the light. And it only loses 0.5 because Warren, the goddamn rapist, is in it. And I just that's why.
That's quite the turnaround.
Yes. Yes. Well, yeah.
Potential cast, we change minds.
No, you healed my wounded little heart.
healing wounds since 19.
Performing closed heart surgery since 1997.
You healed the doctor. Well done.
Yeah, whenever this podcast started in the early 1970s.
I was 14. I was 14 when this podcast started. And now my kids are in university. So there you go.
University.
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said. I can't add anything else.
You're not allowed to.
I give it 10 out of 10. Writers treating viewers like they have a brain in their head.
Thank you, yay! Diego Gutierrez.
Yes.
And Diego's usually such a loser, hero. You know? He always gets lost, and then Swiper comes, and...
man.
Okay. Yeah, Diego Gutierrez, he was like the story editor for seasons and seasons and seasons. So he finally got promoted to a
kind
writer.
Of like Douglas Adams. Yay. He was a story editor on Doctor Who for years and years, and then he got a couple writing credits.
Really? Yeah.
And then he was one of the greatest sci-fi comedy writers ever in the history of the world.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking the other day, okay, you know how in England, sci-fi and fantasy is more accepted into mainstream than it is here. Here you have to be a freak to be a sci-fi or a fantasy fan. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, isn't it because everybody grew up with Doctor
Darn
Who
right.
in England? Yeah. So, we...
Oh, here, no, but here amazing. We had Captain Kangaroo, Mr. Rogers, Mr. Dress-Up, Polka Dot Door, Today's Special, The Friendly Giant, Sesame Street, you know, whatever. Hey, did we all rate?
Today's Special, did you say that?
Yeah, of course I did.
Pokeroo.
Muffy. I love Pokeroo. Muffy with the rhyming all the timing.
No, that's Polka Dot Door. I'm saying today's
Yeah, with
special.
Sam, the security guard. Ah. And Jody, who went on to be an anchor for CBC News World. And every time I see her, I'm like, oh, Jody, hi. Hey, that's what we thought. You can let us know what you think by sending us an email at...
PotentialCast@gmail.com.
We'll just blame the delay. You can call us 270-40-BUFFY, which Paul Mackey didn't do. What up, bro? Come on. You can join the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/potentialcast. You do require to have a Facebook account for this to work. And also, if you try to join and there is no information about you on your public profile, and I suspect that you are out of China and you want to promote shoes and sunglasses, and you're a bot, then I'm going to lay the ban hammer down on you. So please be real if you want to join the Facebook group. Keep it spoiler free. And you can go to potentialcast.com.
Keep it real.
And go to twitter.com/potentialcast. Hey, I can't wait for the day that we don't have to say keep it spoiler free. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great.
Won't be long.
Because the podcast will be over. That's why.
I'll have grandchildren by then.
It's quote time.
I will actually have children.
So here's my quote. This is spoken almost immediately before Buffy dumps the antidote in the garbage can. You're addicted to the misery. It's why you won't tell your pals about us. I'd actually have to be happy if you did. They'd either understand and help you, God forbid, or drive you out, where you can finally be at peace, in the dark, with me. Either way, you'd be better off for it. But you're too twisted for that. Let yourself live already, and stop with the bloody hero trip for a sec. We'd all be the better for it.
Okay, I want to go because of my hate of the geeks. All right. Buffy, you used to create these grand villains to battle against. And now what is it? Just ordinary students you went to high school with. No gods or monsters. Just three pathetic little men who like playing with toys.
I'll go. What? You think this isn't real just because of all the vampires and demons and ex-vengeance demons and a sister that used to be a ball of the universe destroying energy?
That was awesome.
So... I got one. So, she's having the Wiggins issue. Thinks none of us are real. Bloody self-centered, if you ask me.
Awesome.
I altered his reality. Get it? never mind.
So good.
I have another.
I just love that scene with Joyce and funny in the style. I thought that was like possibly my favorite scene of the entire
series. Here's my favorite scene.
Like of Angel or Buffy.
My favorite scene of the episode is, "You can't hide, Dawn."
Who says that?
Buffy, when she's out to get her in the hallway.
When she's like,
"You can't hide, Dawn."
And you're like,
"Stop bloodthirsty." Oh my God.
And you're like, "Yes."
Yeah. Oh my God.
So good. So good, guys.
So next week. Are we ready?
Hey, hold on. First, we talk about our guest. Then we thank her. Hey, Moira.
Oh.
Thanks for being on.
Dr. Moira.
Hey, Lario.
Thanks for being on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It was exciting to be here. It's been a while.
It has. where can we hear you?
So, thanks. Well, if you listen to this week's intro to X, you'll hear me there.
Oh.
I recorded that yesterday. Spoiler alert. You can hear me on way back when I did FisherCast, which was an introcast to 6 Feet Under that I did with Robin that ended like 2 years ago. But it's still out there in the, you know, the world.
And Desiree.
And various other places sending feedback to various other people. Yep.
Thank you, Moira Baum.
Thank you, Lario Ferrer.
Hey, Steph, what's on the plate for next week? Because this delay is driving me up the wall.
Next week is entropy.
Ah, entropy. I love. It's is one of my favorite
really?
Words.
No,
entropy.
It's really only one entropy, but you know.
Entropy, correct me if I'm wrong, is the idea that everything is devolving into chaos and into disentanglement?
Yep.
Awesome.
Lack of order or predictability, gradual decline into disorder.
I think we have a winner.
Sounds like it's going to be a great finale.
All right, folks. For those of you watching on the YouTube, all 8 viewers, thank you for being with us live. For those of you listening on the podcast, listen, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go to iTunes. You're going to search for Potential Cast. Don't misspell Potential Cast like I did on the YouTube page. Okay? Spell it properly. And you're going to give us a rating and you're going to write a review. It takes less than 2 minutes to do that. So when you're going to do that, you're going to rate us and you're going to comment and you're going to let us know what you think. And we'll be much appreciative. And you know what? It doesn't matter what store you access. It could be the Canadian store, the American store. It could be the store in the Philippines. It doesn't matter. I have access to all of your comments. So please write a review and let us know what you think. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Amazing. Great episode. I love
Bye,
you guys.
Everyone.
Just want to
Happy
say
Lost Diversary.
Bye. Happy Friendsiversary to
4, 8, 15, 16, yes. 23, 42, Gen 8. I'm gonna stop the broadcast and then share some music with my lovely friends here. Bye, YouTube.
Could he be any more corny?
Sorry. What? What are you talking about?
He just got Chandler'd.
What?
I don't talk like that.
Can I tell you that anytime someone tries to take a bite of my food, I immediately respond with, "Joey doesn't share sandwiches." I'm not even kidding.
All right. Are we ready? Here we go. Here it comes.
Yes.
I hope you're all ready for it. Here it is. Here's the song. We'll be right back.
It's like a, how do I explain it? If you take like five millimeters across, and it's like a bundle of hair, and they put a piece of glue at the top of it.
Right.
And they actually glue it to your hair.
Right.
And it takes forever, but people do that.
Wow.
Like Britney Spears back in the day used to do that, and like Tara Reid did that. It looks so ratty, like after like a month of them wearing it.
Wow. It sounds like a lot of maintenance, man. It sounds like a lot of work to do that.
It is. That's why I like to have the clip-ins.
Yeah.
Take them out. Shake them out. Do it again the next day.
No. So it's adding what, length to the hair or thickness?
Yeah.
Okay.
For me, it's length.
Yeah.
But some people want their hair to be fuller. Mm-hmm. Some people just want to protect their natural hair so it'll grow.
Wow.
Yeah. My hair is just right now a complete disaster.
I can explore a whole new world.
What'd you say?
Greatest outtakes ever. Greatest outtakes ever.
What about?
So close, but still a world away. hard to control my heart. I walk over to where